Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is Christina Denise of CurvyGirlChronicles.net, and you're on Blog Talk Radio listening to The Curvy Confidential. And we have a very special podcast today for Mental Health Awareness Month. I'm interviewing Lauren Carson, founder of Black Girl Smile, which is a nonprofit dedicated to providing mental health awareness and education for girls and women of color. So, Lauren, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm happy to have you. And just so I know, put out all the disclaimers, I do know Lauren. She's a fellow UVA grad, although we graduated at different times, and I am on the advisory board for Black Girl Smile, so I really wanted to have her on because I know of some of the amazing positive things she's doing, and I know a little bit about her story, and I really wanted her to share her story with you guys. And I think mental health awareness is something that we don't always talk about, and it's a bit stigmatized. So I will let Lauren introduce herself and also shout out all of her social media handles so you can follow her, and we'll move on from there.
Again, thank you so much, Christina, for having me on, and I really commend you on bringing awareness to Mental Health Awareness Month and a topic that is so often misunderstood and not talked about. So I really very much want to applaud you for that. As Christina mentioned, my name is Lauren Carson, and I am the executive director and founder of Black Girl Smile Inc. I started the organization in 2012 based on my own mental health journey as a young African-American girl. I found that there were several voids that really would have assisted me and my family and friends so that I got mentally healthy sooner. So now Black Girl Smile Inc. looks to really fill that void by providing education, resources, and support geared towards young African American girls to help ensure that they're leading mentally healthy lives. And on social media, on all social media, you can follow us at Black Girls Smile. And again, that's Black Girls, so it's plural in the middle, Smile.
All right. Thank you very much, Lauren. So the first question, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. So I'm going to segment it on one, why did you, why this organization and why now? Then two, a little bit about the second half will be more about entrepreneurship in general and networking and connections, because I know a lot of our listeners are very business-minded. And if you're calling in and you're listening and you would like to speak to Lauren or share your own personal story or journey, you press 1, and that lets me know I need to unmute you. So, Lauren, let's just kind of start with your story. And you touched on why you founded it, but let's go a little bit deeper. And then tell us how long you've been here as well.
So I was diagnosed with clinical depression at the age of 15. At the age of 15, when I was first diagnosed, my family and I personally really struggled to accept the diagnosis. And because of that, I didn't feel comfortable sharing what I was going through with anyone outside of my immediate family. And because of that, I really struggled during times of need. It kind of culminated, as you mentioned, I went to UVA as well, University of Virginia. I essentially attempted to take my life twice when I was in college. And after my second suicide attempt, as cliche as it sounds, I decided that I wanted to live. And to do that, I really needed to focus on leading a mentally healthy life and being as healthy or as well mentally as I could be to ensure that I didn't end up in a hospital again and I didn't end up in a place of not wanting to live again. After my second suicide attempt, I took some time to get healthy, ended up graduating from UVA, got a really good job in New York City. And as I kind of looked back over my journey, I saw that there were really big gaps in my journey that would have helped me and girls like me with getting mentally healthy sooner, and possibly can prevent some of the mental health difficulties that I experienced. And those three areas that I really pinpointed were education. When I first was diagnosed, I had no idea what depression really meant. And I'd known about all these misconceptions and stigmas and taboos and all these stories about what depression was, but I didn't really know what mental health was, what mental illness was, and ultimately how I needed to lead a mentally healthy life. I also recognized that resources, so just being able to access mental health professionals that look like me, the difficulty of that I recognize as another void. And the last one was support. I really felt like I couldn't open up to my friends and people in my network or my basketball team. So we help young African-American girls be more comfortable with themselves in general, but through mental health and through that both their relationships and also ultimately their networks as well.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing something that's very deeply personal, and I am so glad that you had that awakening, and that is not cliche at all. I think that's your story, that's your truth, and you're telling it. And I'm glad that you're here and you're having this venue for others. So what, now that you have Black Girl Smile, talk to me a little bit about some of the program initiatives. Like, I know you had Together We Smile last a year. I know that you work with, you have the Mental Health Wellness Brunch that you've done in New York and in Atlanta. So, by the way, you guys, this is not just in one area. This is really, really a big project that's national, and I'm certain worldwide soon as well. So can you tell us a little bit about your programming?
Yes. So we maintain our website, which is blackgirlsmile.org, again, plural in the middle. On the website, we try to build it out as a one-stop shop. So anyone can come to that website to find other resources, other organizations, mental health professionals, and also a little bit more about our programs, but additionally our blog that features information on news, research, anything that's really relevant also in pop culture as it pertains to young African-American girls and mental health. So that's kind of on the digital side. We also maintain our social media and many posts that have inspiration, facts, quotes. But true programming, as you mentioned, the Mental Wellness Brunch, we don't focus just on young African-American girls. Everyone has mental health, and in all honesty, there's many different demographics that are struggling as it pertains to mental health and mental illness. We also focus on young professional women as well. So through the brunches that we've had in New York, Atlanta, and then in D.C. this year, we're really bringing people together to start the dialogue, to promote peers, talking about things such as mental health. And then programming as it pertains to our target demographic of 13 to 19. We have mental health literacy programs. We also have programs where we teach coping mechanisms, self-care methods, and we're adding new programs each day. So on our social media, we keep pretty up to date on news and things coming out with Black Girl Smile. But that's a little bit about some of the programming that we've had this year, and most recently in 2015, too.
And with the brunch, I want to talk a little bit about what that looks like for someone who's like, well, what is a mental health brunch? And I know because I've spoken to you about it before, but if someone was to attend, would they be forced to tell their story? Because some people may want to support, but they may not want to tell their story. Or someone may say, well, I don't have a mental illness. Why would I go to the brunch? But, you know, can we talk a little bit about that?
Definitely. So even the fact that it is a brunch is indicative of what we want people to get from it. We want to meet people where they are. Young professionals like to brunch. So we figured to create a program that met people where they are, made them feel comfortable about learning, but also sharing if they feel like they would like to share about mental health, mental illness, and ultimately mental wellness. With the brunch, we bring together kind of movers and shakers of various cities, and we bring in top mental health professionals to talk with those individuals about warning signs and symptoms, how you help a friend or a loved one that may be experiencing mental health difficulties, And then again, ultimately, with Black Girl Smile, we always like to end on a positive note, how you can lead a mentally healthy life. So we bring in people that talk on these various topics, and then we normally do a kind of a panel at the end. But with it, it's always a fun time. I don't think we have anyone coming out of there with anything but smiles and feeling like they got a lot of information. So it's a very positive healing experience that we try to create with the brunches.
Excellent. And I know the DC one, you're doing something a little bit different. Instead of a brunch, right, it's going to be more of a, I guess, more of an evening affair. Not an evening affair. It's not like black tie. But
I like
it's going to be, it's going to be something a little different.
Yeah, the DC one's going to be a little different. We found a venue that we thought was really accommodating to the atmosphere that we're trying to create with the brunch, of what I just described, really inclusive, feeling very comfortable. And it will be relatively intimate because we are talking about a personal and also serious topic overall. So with the DC event, I guess I have to stop calling it a brunch. We'll be doing a dinner in July for Minority Mental Health Awareness Month, bringing together professionals in the DC area to, you know, enjoy, and like you said, an evening affair. It'll be a seated dinner, and the program will be very similar, where we go through mental health, mental illness, and then ultimately mental wellness.
Okay, excellent. So I want to talk a little bit about stigma, right? I have a family member who has a mental illness, and I know they don't really like to discuss it. I have friends with a mental illness. I even have my own blue moods, although I haven't been diagnosed with anything. I want to talk to you about stigma, specifically in the African-American community, although we all know, you know, everyone needs good mental health. And has that stigma, how has that stigma affected Black Girls Smile, or has it at all?
So the stigma is still very, very, very real in society, but especially in the African-American community. We are taught from a very long time ago, and also from a very young age, that we are a resilient people, but we're also a private people as well. And we're, you know, in some ways, I guess I could say God-fearing people as well. So with mental health in the African-American community, we're very often told to pray about it or don't share it because it's seen as a sign of weakness, when in all reality, close to 90% of mental health difficulties can be treated. And essentially, African Americans are 50% less likely to seek out and receive adequate mental health care when they are experiencing mental health difficulties. Because of this, we're kind of perpetuating the stigma of mental health issues being a sign of weakness, being a sign of shame. And with that, a lot of people are suffering in silence. As we start to talk about mental health and mental illness in venues such as yours, we're opening up that dialogue. We're slowly cracking through that space of making it acceptable and allowing people to be comfortable with sharing that they may experience mental health difficulties at some point in their life. About 1 in 5 people experiencing mental health difficulties at some point in their life. That means that it may not affect you directly, but it's going to affect a friend, a family member, as you mentioned. Mental health is something that affects us all. So we have to normalize the conversation so that people are seeking assistance and receiving appropriate assistance for things that are really impacting their lives.
Right. You said that, so I can tell that you are definitely spearheading this movement because you just did that so well. So I think that's a really good assessment of how stigma affects the community, and stigma affects mental health or mental illness in general. I want to talk a little bit more about, we talked a little bit about your programming, but I want to talk about some partnerships because I know BGS has had some amazing partnerships, and you were even recently invited to speak at a Clinton Global Initiative program. So I want to talk about that and some of the partnerships you guys had and how other people, if they're interested in creating these partnerships, can do that, maybe on a local level.
We've been really fortunate to have great partners to essentially sew their piece of the quilt in this mental awareness movement. Most specifically, one of the organizations that we've worked really closely with has been the Lee Thompson Young Foundation. For people who do not know who Lee Thompson Young, he was the famous Jet Jackson. He was on Rizzoli and Isle. He completed suicide about 2 or 3 years ago. And his family started a foundation to promote mental health education and really tear down the stigma related to mental illness in the community at large. So we work really closely with them in a lot of their programming since they work very closely in the school systems and provide a lot of that education aspect that is one part of what Black Girl Smile does. As you mentioned, I also recently traveled to represent Black Girls Smile in San Francisco at the University of Berkeley with the Clinton Global Initiative. With that, I essentially spoke with close to 250 to 300 students from around the country that are looking to impact their communities. Or let me take that back. Sorry, not from around the country, but around the world, actually. That are looking to impact their communities in a social way as it pertains to health and more specifically mental health. So I was very much humbled to be around some of these students at the ripe age of 19 and 20 that are taking on these lofty things of bringing mental health education to the whole city of Boston in their school systems. I was just very humbled to be around such amazing students. Some of the other partnerships that we have are with the Crisis Text Line. The Crisis Text Line is available 365, 24/7. It is a crisis resource that people can utilize via text because text message is such a big mode of communication. The Crisis Text Line has only been around for a few years now, but they are getting thousands and thousands of texts each day from people who are going through various crises around the country. They're actively actually looking for volunteers or mental health or crisis text counselors. It's a year commitment. We have a partnership with them. If anyone's interested in that, they can feel free to email us at contact@blackgirlsmile.org. One of the other things that sorry, Christina, can you tell me what was the last thing that you asked me with this after the Clinton Global Initiative?
And how can – no problem. First of all, before I go to the second part of that question, I just want everyone to know that if you are looking at this online, I do have a screenshot of the crisis text line, or if you're listening, that number is 741-741, and texters do remain anonymous, and it is – in a slideshow that's playing as you watch if you happen to be watching the podcast and not calling. But the second question, Lauren, was the second part of that question was how can people formulate partnerships locally? So you have these kind of national partnerships. You've been doing this for a number of years, but people who are, you know, they want to do something, but maybe they don't have as many connections. How can they get started and how can they do this locally?
So anyone can always feel free to reach out to us and contact@blackgirlsmile.org. We're always actively looking for partnerships. We are a young and growing organization because we have individuals involved such as yourself. We are always actively looking for partnerships to engage in. We have also had people kind of join us in various areas that are saying, hey, we really like what you're doing. How can we get involved in an area that you may not currently be in? We are always open to having those conversations and finding ways that we can promote our mission to more individuals. This mental health crisis that people are not educated or provided the resources that they need to lead mentally healthy lives is not specific to the areas that you indicated that Black Girls Smile are in currently, this is a national issue and this is a global issue. So we are always open to various partnerships by just emailing us at blackgirlsmile.org.
Excellent. And you mentioned that when you went to the Clinton Global Initiative, you met with a lot of young individuals who were interested in mental health on a global scale. I'm very curious, when you have your own events, when you go as a speaker to events, which is amazing that you're being tapped to, like your message is really being spread because you're being tapped to talk at these other, at these conferences. But when you go there, how do young people react? Like what, does anyone share their story? Are they touched? Are they nervous? I mean, what do they say to you? How do they react?
I would say all of the above. I'm always pleasantly surprised at the events that we throw, but also the events that I'm a part of, and I think most people are pleasantly surprised that people really want to engage in this conversation. As I said before, everyone is affected by mental health difficulties. Everyone has mental health. So it's a topic that is relevant to everyone. Young people especially are really wanting to engage in this conversation with us, but also in other meaningful ways. For instance, about a year ago, there was a new president, I believe, NCAA, the whole NCAA, every division. And when he came in, he did a survey of all the student athletes in the country. And the top thing that they indicated that they had an issue with was mental health. From that, he listened to what those student athletes had to say and started a whole mental health coalition amongst coaches, athletes, trainers, just to address the fact that these student athletes said, this is relevant to us and we want you to listen. So not just in Black Girls Smile, but in events that we throw, events that we're part of, we're constantly seeing that people want to engage in this conversation because everyone has something to say. Everyone has something to add. It's very personal to many people. So again, I think I've been very happy with the way things have gone for our organization, the way that people have received my story, but also our mission.
And I think I'm really glad that you brought up the NAACP and you brought up a different organization that's approaching this in a different way. But many organizations have recognized the need for mental health, for mental wellness, specifically in the African-American community. I know my sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, has part of the national platform. They're working with NAMI. So I do know that other organizations are
really
involved as well. And they're listening, and the word is getting out. And some of the stigma is being erased. Every time someone sees a tweet about it or they go to an event, they learn something new. And they learn that, you know, it's okay. And I think
you can be comfortable.
Right. And I think people think, you know, this whole idea that we can have it all, right, which – my viewpoint is you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time. But we've kind of been taught we could have it all. And as a woman, especially Black women or women of color, we have this whole myth of like the strong Black woman. Not that we're not strong, but I mean, do we have to be like bulletproof? Can we not have some pain and admit to it at some point? And I think that's very difficult. It's very difficult for me to do that. When people say, how are you doing? Very rarely do I say, oh, my God, I'm blogging and I'm modeling and I'm working and it's crazy and this is going on. You know, a lot of times, you know, you're overwhelmed, but you don't always share that. And I think that what you're doing provides so many tools that if someone is overwhelmed to the point where it is affecting them mentally, affecting their mental wellness, that they have that. So thank you again. Also, we have only about 6 more minutes left, so I can see some people on here, so if you want to talk, I understand if you're shy, just want to listen in, just press 1 and we can get you in on some of these questions toward the end. But as we go into our last 6 minutes, Lauren, I would like for you to talk a little bit about, let's switch to the business side, the businesswoman for a second, because yes, you have a nonprofit, yes, you come at this from a very personal place and from experience, but it's a business in a sense. You know, you are an entrepreneur, and this nonprofit is that. Talk to us a little bit about stepping out on faith on that and what tools you use to succeed.
It was exactly what you said. It was stepping out on faith. But I think at times when you find your passion and when you find your calling and something that really gives you purpose and something that you cannot get off your mind, you have to explore that. I knew that me starting something and me doing something about what I went through, it gave it also meaning. Like I have depression for a reason. It's made me who I am, but it's also given me an opportunity to help other people. Some of the things that have helped me through developing an organization, which is quite a lofty goal and feat, and still is always something that I'm struggling with, but time management is a key. And then some of the things that have really helped me as far as that time management, I swear by this planner. It's called the Whitney English Planner. I know that many people use it. It's a shameless plug for her, but her planner is so amazing, and it really allows professional women to have things organized and in a place that will help them succeed. I also try to do a good job of practicing what is called positive psychology or mindfulness. And with that, you very much try to stay in the present. Other names for it is having, not having a fixed mindset. And with a fixed mindset, you see things that happen to you and it's other people's fault or your fault. You don't see it as a learning experience, but I try to take everything that happens to me as I grow the organization as a learning experience. So taking on anything big, I feel like you have to stay positive, and that's really what's helped me the most through everything.
And that's very good. I want to talk about mindfulness a little bit because I actually had a life coach, and she's very big on mindful thinking, and it was very interesting, and it's a way I hadn't thought about things before. Can you give an example of what that would be like? I really want people to have a practical example of, you know, how that works and how that could work in their life.
Sure. So I am an extremely forgetful person. I'm extremely forgetful, and I remember recently I lost my license, dropped my license somewhere. And in the moment when I lost my license, I very much was like, this is what I do all the time. I'm never going to get better at keeping things, and I'm never going to grow up. And I kind of let this spiral of negativity start to go. And with mindfulness, stop that. You stop it in the moment, and you say, hey, it happened. What can I do about it now? My decision was I'd been on a walking trail. I was not going to be able to find my license on a walking trail. I was then going to get my passport. It was as simple as that. I kind of changed my mindset of this tumble of negative thoughts and blame and shame.
Wow.
And, you know, as it starts to spin, and mindfulness is stopping it and being present in the moment and figuring out what can you do positively in that moment and how can you make the best decision. And that ability to stop and think about that moment and what you can do in the moment is mindfulness.
That was an amazing example. I saw a little bit of myself in there. I'm sure other people have seen themselves in there as well. We have about 48 seconds left. So I want to give you a second to shout out your social media again, and I want to really thank you, Lauren. Again, we're on with Lauren Carson of Black Girls Smile and her nonprofit dedicated to mental health awareness. Lauren, if you want to shout out your social media one more time.
Yes, so everyone can follow us on all social media at Black Girls Smile and also our website, which is blackgirlsmile.org.
Okay, thank you very much. We have about 16 more seconds. Again, thank you guys for tuning in. This is Christina Denise of CurvyGirlChronicles.net, and you're listening to The Curvy Confidential. And thank you for having us. Thank you for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.